Music City Roots.
Saturday morning at 7, right before the Blues Kitchen.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Also streaming on the web at kkfi.org.
Hey, good evening and welcome to Khadija and the White Guy. I'm Keith Washburn.
And I'm Khadija Hardaway.
All right. Good evening, Khadija. And tonight, our guest is Pastor Dennis Solis of Cross Point Community Church in the Hickman Mills area, right up by the Grand View Triangle. Right, Dennis?
That's right.
Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. We're going to talk tonight about the most segregated hour of the week. It's on Sunday morning. And you have been a pastor for quite a number of years, and in your church, right, you've got a mixed congregation. So tell us about, you know, how many percentage-wise, what is the mix in your church?
Yeah, well, we started off as basically a small white church, and about 18 years ago began to just reach out to the community, and now we're about, we're about 60-40% now, African-American 60% and 40% Anglo.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good mix.
Yeah.
And what we find over time, I think Khadija's probably got some questions on this, is that there aren't many churches that continue to be mixed. In other words, once the mix starts happening, then one or the other starts exiting. Is that true?
Yeah, that is a challenge. What happens is, if I can just be kind of frank about it, is that the white community is not used to being a minority. And so when a certain percentage of the church begins to change, they tend to get uncomfortable and leave. Not all, and we're an example of that, but it does become a challenge. They're just not used to it. Minorities are used to that kind of atmosphere, but they are not.
So break down the demographics. Are you 60% African-American or African-American mixed with Hispanic?
We're primarily African-American and white, so with a little sprinkling in there. But we're basically not a multicultural church. I would say we are a cross-cultural church, which is black and white.
So let's get down to, you know, talking about this in a more deeper sense. You know, we're talking about South Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of blight in that area, a lot of businesses as well, though. And so, you know, gentrification is always something that we tend to talk about, especially in urban cores where, you know, there's white blight. Now there's black blight because there's no grocery stores, no, you know, adequate way to get gas at a low rate. I mean, there's checking places on every corner, liquor stores. So do you think that gentrification has anything to do with your changing demographics in your church? Hold on. Before you answer that, I want everyone to know that this is a call-in show. So you can call us here at KKFI, 816-935-5534. Sorry about that.
Well, at the present time, I would say no. That hasn't been necessarily the issue. But, you know, in classic kind of gentrification, what you have happen is that you begin to rebuild, but often at the expense of those that may be poor or under, you know, low on the poverty line. They usually get pushed out with gentrification, you know, and everybody says, look, isn't everything better? But they just get kind of relocated and pushed out. You know, my feeling and some of the groups I'm with, our feeling is that you need to have change with justice. And that means you need to create communities where those who are struggling can live, and those who just need to hand up and need to some opportunities, receive them rather than just being pushed out. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah, and so we just call that, you know, maybe gentrification with justice, you know. And we don't think about that much, but really that's important. I mean, why do we have a right to just kick people out of their communities, you know, because they're struggling? That's not right. And
I think for the most part, people don't realize they're being kicked out. But I want to give the call-in number again just to make sure that everyone heard it correctly. It's 816-931-5534. You are more than welcome to call in and join us.
Yeah, we want to hear your thoughts on this because, you know, for anybody that goes to church, or even if you used to go to church, you know what it's like in a church, you know, would you feel comfortable in a mixed race situation? Or, I mean, just be honest with yourself and call us. Tell us what you think about that.
How is service? Do you sing? Do you shout?
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, absolutely. Yeah, we try. I think the difference is that we try to avoid what we call assimilation. Mm-hmm. Assimilation being you have the dominant group, and then they say, everybody come in and be like us. And so if it's predominantly been a white church, then the attitude is, well, come in and kind of accept what we do. A blended church approach says, bring your gifts and who you are and teach us and let us together create something new, something where we can appreciate both cultures, you know?
Oh, I love that.
So how do you come to that happy medium? Is there a suggestion box of you fill out a sheet that says, I would like to do X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I think through relationship building, and you get to know people and you get to know their gifts. And then there, when you build a relationship, people are more open to talk and be frank and honest with you.
I think we have a caller. So, caller, you're on the air. Hello. Could you tell us your name and what part of town you're from?
Yeah, my name's Andrew Dallagher. I'm actually from Lawrence, Kansas. I wish, Khadija, that I would have heard the number the first time. When you guys were talking about gentrification, I missed it by that much. I wanted to know your take on the fact that in those urban communities, although there are businesses where people can maybe get a job, how little of those opportunities are given by people in the community, meaning the liquor stores, payday advance loans, gas stations, all of the businesses there are typically owned and ran by people that don't live in those communities, which slowly, cyclically funnel the money outside of the community and gives them very little chance to build for themselves.
Oh, Andrew, great question. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I really wish I would have got it when you guys were on topic. I know we're talking about church, so I'm sorry. Sorry I missed you. But
Well, church is just a way to, you know, get fueled up so you can live your life. So
definitely.
The other six days of the week.
An economist, I guess, a capitalist. And I think that there's a lot, although, like, with all of the racial talk that's being brought up in the main media right now, they're not looking at the source of why people are acting out in violent manners. It's because they're not given the opportunity that others are. They're not heard. Their voice isn't heard unless they make that much noise. And
right.
I
well,
think that a big part of it is that we don't have the financial opportunities.
What? Yeah. Go ahead.
No. Hey, I appreciate your thoughts on that. I agree. You know, and I think what we're seeing happening now is people are just almost like just saying, I'm gonna have a voice. And so now
right.
they're gathering on the streets, and it just seems foreign to people who've always had a voice and never had to have to think about the concept that you're marginalized in society. So when people who have been marginalized start speaking up, it's very uncomfortable for the dominant culture. But that's a healthy thing because we can listen and learn and hear the pain that people have.
Exactly.
I just want to say that a lot of what you see is by design. Most people would not know that they're under the influence of some strong arm that is keeping them down or holding them down. So
a lot is
by design. But we do want to get a lot of information in on this topic because it's such a broad topic. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, we appreciate you calling in, and we're going to give someone else the opportunity to call in and try to broaden
if you
the
guys
conversation.
Could do me a huge favor. If you guys plan on doing an episode about gentrification, could you please post the date on your website so that I would know, because I'd really love to sit in on that one.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, so glad you called tonight. Sounds like you've really given some deep thought to this, and we hope you call back again.
I'm a fan of your show. So. awesome.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks so much,
no
Andrew.
Problem. You guys
keep
have a
going,
good one,
man.
Okay?
All right. Yep.
Talk
All
to
right.
you later.
You're listening to Khadija and the White Guy. I am Khadija, and I have Keith with me and a couple of other white guys.
And a brown guy. No, I'm a brown
okay,
guy.
Okay, he's a brown guy. I'm sorry.
I'm a brown guy.
Sherry's a white gal. Yeah. So okay. we've got you know, Latino, African American.
We have a melting
white
pot.
Guy. Yeah.
But anyway, if you want to join us, call 816-931-5534. Listen to Groovy Mike's voice, and then you'll be on.
Wouldn't it be great if every church could have the kind of discussion that you just said, which is to really hear people's heart and understand where they're coming from and how they've been marginalized and what it feels like to be marginalized? Seems like church would be an excellent place to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But ironically, we have not. I don't think we as a church, and I love the church. You know,
you're talking about the big church,
the
now.
Big
you're
church.
Not talking about Crosspoint.
No, but in general. And I include myself. I'm a part of the church. You
right.
know? So I include myself in part of that, in that problem. But we have not really conditioned our people and taught them how to be good listeners and how to empathize with others at all. And
that's a great
because,
point.
Because I think church can be, if I'm, can I be frank, can be very selfish, very self-centered. And so, but that's not what I believe Christ has called us to. I believe he's called us to something better than that.
That is wonderfully said. I think we have another caller.
So we
caller,
do.
Yeah, you are on the air. Could you say your name and what part of the town you're from?
My name is Frank. I'm calling from Brookside. And just generally what you're discussing, I'm a musician. I'd like to work with a gospel choir, but I don't have any idea how to do that in Kansas City. I've lived here all my life, and, that's on my mind. Also, another thing we have here is a black baseball museum, and nobody ever really talks about how when the blacks went into Major League Baseball, it shut down all the businesses and everything that was associated with the Negro Leagues here in Kansas City, so it actually ended up hurting the community. And along those same lines in gentrification, James Brown had a food stamp so people could keep the money in the community. And if you look at what happened with the government, they came and took all of this stuff away for doing it properly, so... Anyway, I just thought I'd mention those things.
Oh, thanks for calling
Frank,
in.
Frank, yeah. If you leave your name with Mike, I will call you and contact you, and I will invite you to my church. You can play at my church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be great.
My church awesome. Is open, too.
Grant Chapel, AME.
Thank you very much. Keep on going.
Yeah, okay. And also Pastor Solis said, Frank, thanks for calling in. He also said, hey, come on down to his church. He's down right in the Hickman Mills area, just south of Bannister Mall, where the old Bannister Mall used to be. I think we have another caller. You're on the air. Tell us your name and what part of town you're from.
Hi, this is Reverend Helen Nelson with Oak Grove Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. And we're located at 5703 Oak Grove Road in Kansas City, Kansas, in the Turner neighborhood.
All right. Glad All to right. have you call in.
Thank
What's
you.
On your mind tonight, Reverend Helen?
Well, I was just listening in the car. I've pulled over, so I'm not driving and talking on the phone.
Love it.
But I think the whole concept that you're talking about in regard to race and the church is very relevant. I started looking as a young teenager for a congregation that was desegregated back in Memphis, Tennessee, and wasn't successful for many, many years in finding one. And I am thrilled to be part of a denomination that really is focused right now nationwide, actually internationally, on the issue of racial reconciliation. We are a pro-reconciling anti-racism denomination. Mm-hmm. And anyone that wants to come to Oak Grove Christian Church, whatever your background is, we're very hospitable and we would love to have you there.
Did you have a question? Thank you for calling in. Did you have a question for Pastor Solis?
What do you think is the single most effective thing that any congregation of any background could do to really be in racially inclusive and to really, what can you do within your congregation to cultivate an openness, first of all? Then how do you, what can you do to be inclusive without seeming maybe a little too welcoming?
That is absolutely. That's a great point.
Anyone.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so we're going to let Pastor Lee, he's going to go ahead and answer the question, but we'll let you go and open up the phone line. Thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Thank you, Reverend Helen.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, I think a word that's used a lot, but I think it's very relevant and important is intentionality, that you have to be intentional. I think that leadership's really important. You know, someone has to be the voice and the encourager and the teacher that teaches the congregations of how to do this. And they've got to be a constant voice. It doesn't happen naturally, usually. It happens intentionally. And because it is a deep-rooted, long-term issue in our nation, it's not going to go away tomorrow or next year. So there's got to be intentionality. It's one of the key words, I would say. And, of course, relationship building is vitally important.
Yeah, I was going to say this. And she mentioned something, and then I'm going to turn over to Khadija. But she mentioned that, you know, sometimes you can overwhelm people. And the way I kind of see that is if you are a predominantly white church, now you get this one poor African-American person that walks in the door, and everybody, like, descends on this person, you know, so welcoming and just overwhelms them. Mm-hmm. And Khadija, you might even speak to that, how that might make someone feel. It probably wouldn't make me feel really all that welcome.
Oh, you know, for me, I love attention. I'm sorry. I don't care who it's coming from, but for me, that's not the question for me, because I crave attention and I love all people. I've been in all white churches. Some of my customers have invited me, and people have loved on me in that manner. And I can see where it would be overwhelming for a lot of mm-hmm. people, but my mind is so open and so clear that it doesn't really affect me that way.
You know, I think we don't like being put on the spot, but we love to be loved. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I mean, a genuine sort of love.
Just
if it's warm and electric, I take it. But it does lead me into some other questions, what Pastor Helen said, and that's, do you think that your church is fit for diversity training and training other churches how to be inclusive or intentional, as you say?
Yeah, I think so. But let me just say, there are no experts. And so we've been doing this 18 years, intentionally, on purpose, very, 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 very focused. And after 18 years, we're still learning. And you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's still a process. And so I would hope that we've learned some things. And I'm a part of some groups in the community, co-op, Elevate KC, where I get to work with others to promote some of these principles. But yeah, it's this ongoing process of learning. It never ends. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of baggage that we carry on the inside, a lot of culture. You know, I even say there's a lot of church culture. Mm-hmm. It may not actually be kingdom culture, Jesus culture, but church culture that we have to overcome a lot of.
Oh, that's a great distinction.
Well, I want to ask the question again, because I don't think you hit it on
okay,
the mark.
Okay, let's go.
Do you think your church is fit to train people how to be inclusive, to train other individuals? I mean, there was a company called Harmony before. I used to be the office manager for them, and their direct effort was to bring businesses to Kansas City that wouldn't come otherwise because we weren't inclusive enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's unique that you have a church setting where it's diverse, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. not everywhere you go is diverse, mm-hmm. you know, but people mm-hmm. are looking to have mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. and I think you have a model. So mm-hmm. my question is, do you think that model can fit to train other churches so that the chain can, you know, the connection can start to happen?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I think I do. I want to be careful again because, I don't want to come across of like we know everything. But we have 18 years under our belt.
I think that's plenty of wisdom. Yeah.
And so we have some great people in our church. African Americans and Anglos in our church have all had to give up preferences to be a part of something mixed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're giving something up to
they
be. They
kind of got married, huh?
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, I think you said that to me once before is, you know, when you check in at our church, you got to give up your preferences mm-hmm. or you got to be willing at least to, you know, talk it
but
over.
I think that's the nature of church, though. If you're going to church, you should be giving up a lot before you walk in that door,
now.
You know?
You're preaching now.
Well, I'm not a minister. whoa. But if you're listening and you would like to tune in and be a part of this conversation, give us a call at 816-931-5534.
Let's get into the politics of, you know, and there are other reasons why people separate themselves on Sunday morning, but could it be some political positions? And Khadija, I think you had some questions along these lines.
Yeah, you know, often churches stand up. I know as my church, we're African Methodist Episcopal Church. Mm-hmm. So we champion a lot of African American issues. I mm-hmm. mean, because that's who we are. Mm-hmm. Do you find that you have conflict within your congregation when you try to champion a political issue, or do you guys find a way mm-hmm. to have a happy medium? I mean, because that's not an easy thing.
Yeah, that's
I can
a great. That's a really great question. You know, I think politics are more divisive than the race issue. Mm-hmm. Politics are tops, and the circles I run around traditionally have been very conservative, mm-hmm. and usually, let's just be frank about it. Usually, very conservative, white, Republican. You know, in the African American community,
I was hoping you get to the word Republican.
Yeah. In the African American community, uh-huh. a very different experience that many come from. So what I believe is that somehow the church has to learn to live together with those differences and see the dignity of one another. And when anybody in our midst is being oppressed or has an experience. And racialized society means that there are some, based on your color often, you may have a different experience in America than a person of a different color. So often African Americans, their experience in America has been different. If that's happening, then all the believers should care about that, regardless of what the politics are, and say, what do we do?
So you're geared more toward the human right.
Yeah, I never promote anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't promote an individual. You know, I will tell you this: when President Obama was elected, mm-hmm. I prayed for it for a week, and I said, "Lord, what do we do?" It was an historical moment in our nation, and so after praying, and I talked to some of our elders, decided, you know what, we need to have open mic on Sunday morning and celebrate this historical moment. Mm-hmm. I said, it wasn't about politics. It's not about policy. But it's about the bigger picture of our country and
where
who
we're
we
headed,
are
yeah.
and who and where we've been. Right. So let's celebrate this. And I'll tell you what, that Sunday, there were a lot of tears. There were so many of our African Americans were in disbelief that this happened, mm-hmm. that an African American was elected. And I think it was good for our white brothers and sisters to see that and stand with them and just celebrate the moment.
Well,
does that make sense?
It was historical for me and even spiritual. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. a memory for me. My dad never voted before in his life until Obama decided to run. Mm. Never voted before. He didn't think it mattered. Mm. But he has voted ever since. Mm. Mm. So, I mean, he's an old man, you know, not voting.
And
so that's an interesting take that how something like that can gravitate toward change.
Yeah.
And what I appreciate most about you doing something like that and taking a stance on it is that it will create change in the long run. My concern, though, is about sustainability. I know you say you've been doing it for 18 years, mm-hmm. but if you introduce and so many people got wind of this, how do we sustain a melting pot? Because the system itself is not designed for a melting pot.
Right. You know what? You're asking some good questions.
I know.
That's your job, right? That's your job. You know, that is so true. And I don't know how much do we just tell it like it is?
Tell
it like you think it is. Let's just be honest about that. Maybe not how it is. But you know, there's a big difference between a multicultural church and a cross-cultural church, and especially black and white.
Mm-hmm.
In a multicultural church, you often avoid all the uncomfortable conversations, mm-hmm. and you're just one group together, and you love on each other, and you don't talk about that stuff much. I am hoping that's beginning to change, but this has been my what I've observed over the years with many groups and stuff. In a black and white church, there's no way you're not going to... If you're going to try to go beyond the surface, you're not going to talk about these issues. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it's a challenge. It can be a challenge. And I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not easy. It's not easy to maintain.
I can imagine.
It's not easy to have a large church in this setting. When you're telling everybody who walks in the door, give up your preferences and be open,
and be open
to being uncomfortable. When you're telling them that, it doesn't grow churches very much.
Yeah, I can just imagine.
Right.
Because when you think about it, church people are they play nice anyway. Even if you're not on a racial issue, right?
Yeah.
Church people don't want conflict we got to just be playing nice.
I come in for an hour and give me my thing and let me go.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you what, I would take quality over quantity, and I think we have another caller on the air.
Yeah, I believe so. So, caller, you are on the air. What's your name and what part of town are you from?
Hi, this is Mo, and I live in North Kansas City.
Didn't catch the first name. What is it?
Mo.
Mo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Go ahead, Mo.
I've been a member down at St. Mark on the leadership. I've been a Sam man, and I am white, and I've been there for 30 years, and it's a great conversation. And that my role was a commitment early on to make sure that all our voices are heard. We have a commitment to the Native American community as well. And a lot of it on my part as white was to just listen. I didn't have an agenda, but I knew that something had to change, that the way I was raised to believe that people should be separated didn't make sense. So my children and my grandchildren continue to attend there. And so we've had a recent conversation about white privilege, which actually was presented to different pastors. We're now under the leadership of Dr. Vernon Howard, who's also the president of Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which was another way to celebrate diversity. I look at it more as a salad, and that the melting pot picture doesn't really hold true. When not to melt. We have an Afrocentric perspective, and I have really learned more about universal unity by coming to that point. You know, otherwise, in schools, up to more recently, I'm also retiring as a teacher.
Mo, if I could,
with a Eurocentric perspective. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for calling in. And I just wanted to say we've just got a couple of minutes left, so thank you. Those are some really great thoughts, especially the salad. And I think what she's saying is don't lose your identity, but you're part of a salad. The tomatoes make the salad. You don't blend in and be part of the lettuce. You're the tomatoes or you're whatever.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But I also like the fact, because what I heard her talking about is what we call incarnational kind of living, where you embrace. She just listened. She opened her life to a different story.
Right.
The African American story
became the founding board.
But that also changes you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And that's incarnational. That's what Jesus did. He became like us, and that's the way we really build the bridges.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any way you stack it up, for those of you that are listening that are atheists, no problem. But the analogy that he's using here is to actually listen to someone else's heart. No, you're good, man. You're a pastor. You can go for it. Yeah. Back over to Khadijah. We just got about a minute left.
Well, what I want to say is that the reason why we do these conversations is to bring light, to open people's minds and hearts. And what better way to do it through the one you believe in, your God, the one that carries you. And if we all could see God in the light that Pastor Dennis does, then I think we can begin to make change gradually.
Oh, I love
slowly
it.
But gradually.
Let me give Pastor Solis just a minute to talk about your upcoming event. Go ahead, man.
Thank you. We have what we call the Triangle Run in the Hickman Mills area on May 23rd, and all the proceeds go to the school district, Hickman Mills School District, the Lynx program, an after-school program, and the Parks and Rec targeted at youth. and we're rallying the community. This is a great opportunity for the whole city to come out and support this part of the community. If one part of our community is hurting, then the whole part's hurting. So we ask you to come out and run, walk, stand, and cheer, whatever. We think it's going to be a great day. May 23rd, and you can go on to trianglerun.com to get more.
Oh, all right. And it's been going on for several years. So
6 years, I think, yeah.
Yeah, the sixth annual. All right, love it.
Absolutely.
Pastor Solis,
fabulous.
So great to have you tonight. And
Thank you.
He is the senior pastor at Cross Point Community Church of the Nazarene. Thanks for coming on and really appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you've been listening to Khadijah and the White Guy on KKFI Community Radio. I'm Keith Washburn.
The 11th annual Family Friendly Truce Fest will be held on Saturday, May 16th from noon to 10 p.m. at 3100 Troost Avenue. Entertainment includes Showstoppers Drill Team, Nicolette Page, Potlicker Possum Run, and many more. For information, call 819-